All right, guys. So as you know, on this podcast, I like throwing back. And what are we going to do today? Throw back. We'll tell you more in just a minute. Let's go. Welcome back, all of you nerd and geek aficionados. This is your host, Rob, from Alt Universe, the podcast. And today's show, well, it'll be fun like all the other ones. But of course, we cannot do these alone. We need our nerd family to join us. So for the first time on our podcast, we have Kyle from the Fandom Podcast Network. Say hello to the world, sir.
Hey, it's good to be here. And actually, this is not my first time on the podcast.
Oh yeah, we did it before, huh?
Yes, we did do it. I believe we talked a little poo corner and a few things, but that's okay. You know, it was a while. We've had holidays since then. First of the year, we all get a little brain scrambled.
And take two. Okay, well, there you go. Thank you for clearing that up with me, because, you know, as you just said, shit happens. So, yeah.
Exactly.
All right, well, then welcome back. I totally apologize. I'm usually much better than that.
That's quite all right. I know the feeling.
All right, so since he knows well what's going on, we will jump right in. And actually, what we did last time kind of plays into what we're going to do today. So there's a big category of fandom niche out there called lost media. There's a Wikipedia page for it. There's YouTube for it. Everything out there. And basically what it is, for those out there who don't know, it's basically some sort of medium, whether it's TV, movies, books, games, etc., that may have been destroyed, may have disappeared, or may have been made, but never actually shown. And what I find really cool about this, and I'll ask you in a second, is that it's really cool to see what actually is out there. Kind of irritating that we don't get a lot of this cool stuff because we really want to see it. So I'll ask you first off, what do you think is cool about lost media, and what would you like to see that has been made that hasn't been put out to the public?
Well, you know, the cool thing about lost media is, especially when you talk about lost media in the United States, is 9 times out of 10, depending on what it is, you can find, at least like if it's a TV show or something, a pilot, or if it's a movie, sometimes you can find a rough cut of it somewhere. And it's always kind of fun to see that. But it's also, the fun thing about talking about lost media is what could have been, what couldn't have been. And of course, then there's always what I call the frustrating lost media, which is something that might have come from another country, mainly Japan, where we get a lot of rumors that we're going to get something from Japan, and then it never comes over, and we don't necessarily have a way to ever access that particular thing from Japan unless you have a whole lot of money.
Very true, very true. And it's funny because it's kind of – that's the one place I think all of this stuff really comes from. When it comes to outside the U.S., there's not a lot of other countries that are into entertainment as much as Japan really is. You know, Europe has their group. Stuff like that. But yeah, I think you're right. I think if there was anything made, whether it was, you know, inappropriate for American eyes or if it was just not sent out, I think you're right. I think, Nintendo, Sega, Pokemon, all that stuff, those are the places that really have the, you know, inexplicable hidden gems, if you want to call them that.
Well, I think Nintendo is the worst of all. Sony's right up there too.
There you go.
Yeah, but the Sega was a really interesting one.
And that's a great leeway in. You are just so good at this, aren't you?
I've been doing this for a while now. So.
But a bunch. All right, so perfect segue. And actually, what's funny is yesterday I spoke with another one of my guests about the Sega company and kind of the demise that it is now. But our first lost media we're going to talk about is a Sega Pico game, which I'm guessing was one of their other companies as well, that never came out, even though the main character was one of its biggest franchise. So I got very little personally on this, so we'll see what you learned about it. So this game was called Sonic Jr. That was supposedly out in 94, but as I read, the existence is unconfirmed. So we'll do a little quickie about what I found about it. So after the release of Sonic Jr. for the Pico and Genesis, Sega announced the game based on younger version of the characters, amongst the main character being Sonic Jr. I don't really see what the concept was other than maybe like an easier version of the Sonic game. So right off the bat, what exactly do we think this might have been, if it is even real for that case?
Well, I think, well, the Pico, let's talk about the Pico a little bit, because what the Pico was using the Genesis hardware, but being developed as a more of a educational kids computer.
Okay. Gotcha.
So that's where the thing was. And Sonic at the time was the very big mascot for Sega. The guy who Sega had finally hit on something to kind of compete with Mario. So right. Yeah, they were going to push Sonic everywhere, which led to obviously this Pico system and Sonic Jr. And the thing of it was that the Pico just never caught on. And now my understanding is there is a little bit of a version of Sonic Jr. in Japan, but it never came to the States because Pico just crashed. And the thing about Pico was it was aiming to come out, and it was towards the end of the Genesis run. Anyway, the Pico itself was actually released for a brief time in Japan in 1994 with hitting in North America and Europe a little bit later, also in China. But it didn't take off. It barely got out of it. Sega actually claimed that they had sales of 3.4 million Pico consoles and 11.2 million game cartridges. I'm having a hard time believing that because it was Sega at the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, so do we think that maybe because it was the software that got screwed up, that's why this never came to fruition? Or do you think they could have easily made this for their regular systems?
I don't think they ever really made it for their regular systems. I think this was designed because there were some features with the Pico that weren't on the regular system. So I think this was aimed to be a design for the regular system. They did have a game for the Pico called Sonic Game World, and I think some elements of Sonic Jr. actually ended up hitting in that game.
Okay, fair enough. And I'm also seeing here that another game based off another franchise was Echo the Dolphin. They were going to have one called Echo Jr. as well. So I feel like you might have hit the nail on the head. They tried, but they probably failed before they even got to the end. It probably didn't come through in the way that the Genesis itself did. Is that a possibly fair assessment?
I think so, because you're looking at 94, and let's not forget that was when the whole Sega Saturn fiasco happened.
Ah, yes. Okay, so go on about that for a second, because I think I want to bring up a point after you're done with that.
Well, in 94... early 95 is when you finally had the next generation of consoles, and there was two big ones on the market at the time coming out, and that was the Sega Saturn and the Sony PlayStation. And okay. Sega put out the Saturn completely rushed. It wasn't ready. The price point on it, I think, was $600. And at that time, that was a ton of money. Even now, that's a chunk of change, but it's a little bit more understandable, but especially at that time. And the Saturn it did not have the games ready for it. PlayStation came out a couple months later, and people were buying up the PlayStation, even though it only came up with a demo disc. It had like three games you could play on it, but it was just it was kind of the nail in the coffin. And the sad part about what happened with the Saturn is it really affected what happened later when Sony put out the Dreamcast, which was actually a great video game machine.
Right, and what's funny, we're bringing it up because when I spoke yesterday about the Sega podcast I did, we kind of went over the fact that it seemed like they were trying to imitate some of the other companies, but those other companies were kind of already ahead. And when Sega, at least in my opinion, and when Sega did it, they were kind of chasing a losing battle in a way.
Yeah. You know, I just want to, let me add to this, because I think Sega really hit it solid with their first two systems in the Master System, which I'm still a huge fan of. I thought there was great games in the Master System, and obviously Genesis is actually the thing that really overtook Nintendo for a while here in the U.S., but Sega could just never get their marketing right after that, and they got in their own way.
That's fair. And I think one of the statistics I found the other day was Nintendo, when they were there, had already had about 90% of the video game company at the time. So Sega was already going to be struggling a little bit because of that, you know, big chunk. But being that they had the Genesis and a character like Sonic, who was basically the equal to Nintendo's Mario, they were, at least for a short time, able to get enough eyeballs to make some money. Unfortunately, they just didn't follow through, I don't think. And that's kind of, you know, where it ended up.
Yeah, well, and then, well, I know when they launched the Saturn, there wasn't a Sonic game even remotely on there. And, you know, the end for Sega came towards the end of the Genesis run. Instead of just coming out with the next console system, you ended up with Sega CD, you ended up with Sega 32X, which was that crazy attachment onto the Genesis. And, right. You know, it's a shame because Sega had some good things going for it, and they got in their own way.
You know, and I guess it's business. I mean, it's funny to say. I always talk this about the Pokemon Go versus the stuff. I never thought to this day that there would be an app like Pokemon Go on the phone that would overpass the Pokemon Game Boy games that were so popular. And yet, here we are.
Like, oh, yeah.
They are overdoing themselves, which is fine because they're still making money no matter what. But they literally overdid themselves, maybe on purpose, not on purpose, just because they just keep on putting us up. Now, granted, I know that the app is with other companies, so it's not just strictly Nintendo, but the franchise itself just continues to overdo itself over and over again, and it works. So if Sega had done, you know, what they did, maybe they would have had a chance. But again, like I keep saying, I think they were kind of loaded from the get-go, and I don't know if they really had a chance since a lot of other stuff was already there in our view, you know what I mean? So
no, exactly.
You know, it's tough. So if you guys want to learn more, there's a website called sonicretro.org. It has a little bit of information on there. It talks about some other Sonic games that weren't made. So if you guys are a fan of Sonic, because I know the movie's coming out this year, go check it out. It's pretty cool. Really quick, what's your view on that really fast? Because I know I'm a little skeptical.
This movie, well, first of all, the Sonic movie's not going to make any money because of what happened initially with the whole thing where it first came out, was going to, and then everybody saw Sonic and went, what the heck? And that's putting it in a nice way. And then all the money they spent to make Sonic look more like Sonic, it's a video game movie. I can count on three fingers the video game movies actually came out and made money. So... Let me put it that way. Live action versions.
I always think it's funny because for me, like, the Mario movie is still a cult classic. Like, I love it. And I think it works so well because it came out of the same period when the games were so popular. Sonic took like decades later to make a movie. And now people are like, what the hell? Like, you know what I mean? Like, if they had made it in the 90s with the Mario movie, it probably would have been so much better because it was still like fresh on your mind.
Yeah, I just don't know if there was the movie technology to properly do Sonic at that point.
Well, yeah, I mean, you do make a point. I mean, the infamous Yoshi Raptor makes a, you know, right there. But, you make a point. But, I mean, just thinking of it generally, if they had made some sort of movie, whether or not it was as high-tech as this one, it may have been more popular just because it was still, you know, and again, Sonic is still popular, don't get me wrong, but it was even more popular at that point.
Oh, come on. We all know the greatest video game movie is The Wizard.
I don't even know how to respond to that one. No, I'm just kidding.
Just because we know you have a power glove somewhere.
All I'm thinking, it was the kid from Wonder Years, right?
It was Fred Savage.
I picture him, and that's for the After Hours show right there. We'll talk about that another day. But
yeah. Well, hey, it was the first appearance of Super Mario Brothers 3, so, you know.
Nice, very slight, thin string of connection right there. Very, very well done right there. All right, guys, so if mainstream characters isn't your thing, what about Flash? Yes, I said it, Flash. Flash games, at least to me, were really bigger back in the 90s as well. But to this day, there's still a lot of websites that use Flash for, well, everything, not just gaming. One particular one that I found in my searching kind of struck me as odd, to say the least. And that's not using inappropriate wording here. And this game was actually in 2009 as well. So this is the game Spore 2D. If anybody else is groaning, then please tell me why, because honestly, I barely remember this game until I saw the screenshot. Okay, so first things first, what was your takeaway when this game came back in your mind?
Okay, well, you have to remember that Spore was actually a very big and popular game. Spore came out at a time when The Sims was incredibly popular, and the fact on the aspect of Spore, it's the original Spore game itself, was that people were just drawn in and building and creating the worlds and everything that, that Spore represented, and Spore was kind of seen as a revolutionary game at the time it came out. I know that everybody had been waiting forever for Spore 2, and then people right. were talking about Spore 2D, and it just, the problem with it was, one, it was a flash game. that's a big thing, and it just
that's enough said right there, right?
Yeah, and Spore 2D, just the concept wasn't what Spore was about, and I think that's what had a lot of people really upset.
And that's fair enough. I mean, you know, so it looks like they were using this game, this flash game, to promote one of the other games that was going to be released a little later later on the Wii, called Spore Hero. So in that sense, makes some sense, right? You know, you're using your product to promote other versions of your product. Problem is, you know, I'm looking back at the, you know, basically the point of the game, it was really a very limited, and again, it was flash game, so I get it. You pretty much just made your creature do things and you leveled him up one, you know, little by little. Again, not a problem, I don't think. But for the, like, and you mentioned, you know, Spore itself was humongous. Would you have thought this would have been interesting to anybody who played Spore, other than the fact that it was from the same franchise?
Not really, because the other problem was it wasn't created by the initial people who made Spore.
Right.
And I think when people wanted more of what the original Spore was, and the original game Spore to this day is still a strong cult classic, but yeah, it's just, this was just poor execution and poor idea, more trying to capitalize on the name than anything.
Right, and that's what I was thinking, because I was like, you know, yes, it's cool and flash games are fun when you have like 5 minutes to waste, but, you know, why? The only word that came to mind was why. Like, I don't know. Now, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on who you ask, the game officially left in 2012. There's screenshots and images, and apparently if you're really good at computer programming, you can fix the game. I don't know how to do that, nor do I want to. And some people, apparently, I'm quoting the air right now, have been able to fix the game on the computer. But that being said, I feel like it probably was going to be shut down anyway because it was really used as a promotional thing to begin with. I don't think this was going to be sticking around for, you know, that long anyway. What do you think?
I don't think so either. I think this was at a time when they were just taking any property they could get their hands on and making something out of it because they knew they could make money off of it because it was something that was grabbing people's attention. I mean, I think I'm more sad to this day than the fact that we're still so heavily reliant on Flash.
And it's funny because, you know, I get, you know, I don't think about it now. You know, I use the internet for my work all the time, and I don't realize that everything I'm looking at, there's a lot of Flash involved, but because it's not what it's not as big as it was, it doesn't really connect with me anymore. It just, no. Like, you see it and it's there, but you don't think about it because honestly, nobody really cares. So you make a valid point there about the Flash thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, like I said, that's just kind of, to me, how I feel about it is just, why are we using Flash at this point? But, you know, that was the time. Sport. This game was like a lot of other games that maybe were there and gone, or were promised in development and never came out. It was just that it was that time, and everybody was, like I said, whatever they could get their hands on and make something out of, people were doing it.
You know, and again, as I always say, it's business. So, what are you gonna do? All right, guys. So, if you guys are interested in looking at it more, go check it out. If anybody is able enough to fix it, let me know. Comment below. Maybe we can play a round or two. I don't think I want to, but hey, you know, one can dream, right? Okay, so let's leave Flash and let's return to another big franchise, speaking of Japan. And this one actually was shocking. I came across this randomly. I had no idea this was out. Pokemon 4D, Pikachu's Ocean Adventure. apparently an animated film or short from 2006. As of now, only bits and pieces of it are around. Somebody found the trailer, somebody found a 30-second clip, and there's also a teaser from Japanese television. So first off, what do you know about this, or do you remember this one at all?
You know what? I really don't remember this one at all, but just doing research on it and reading up on it, this thing had just a weird history to it. It actually got a limited release here in the U.S. for just a brief time with some screenings in a IMAX theater at Jordan's Furniture in Avon, Massachusetts.
And damn it, I wasn't there to watch. Ah, damn, Jordan's Furniture.
You know, you look at this, it had a select run in theaters all the way in 2006.
You're right.
And then apparently it was screened again in 2017 together with the Pokemon 3D Adventure Mew O Sagasi in Japan theaters. This is one of those things where there's just so much Pokemon stuff now, and things just fall through the cracks, and you forget about some of these oddball things that have come out through the history of Pokemon.
It kind of makes me think maybe somebody did it on purpose, because it's such a popular franchise that maybe somebody's like, hey, somebody would like to watch this, even if it's not the whole film. Like, maybe this was actually, you know, because it looks like it's if you look hard enough, you can find it on YouTube and whatnot. So maybe somebody did it on purpose. What do you think?
It's very possible. You know, it's Pokemon. You put out anything Pokemon, people are going to be all over it.
Yeah. So basically, it looks like it follows Pikachu and his Pokemon buddies as they are on vacation. They are visited by a Chatot, the little parrot Pokemon, who has a treasure map leading to the legendary treasure known as the Whale Lord's Tear, which is located in a sunken pirate ship. Sounds thrilling, right? So it actually seems, considering some other shorts that are with other movies, you know, as you just said, Pokemon really can't do wrong necessarily. You know, again, I haven't watched it. I'm actually thinking after we're done here, I might try to go check out the little clip and maybe post it up on my page. You know, I don't know. There's been so many, and I know, like, in the anime, there's been so many episodes that were banned, so many episodes that just never aired. Maybe this was supposed to be part of something else, and it just kind of, like, died before it got to where it's supposed to go. I could see this being a part of a game or the app, or, you know what I mean? Like, this could be something. I just, maybe there was a reason it didn't work out outside of Japan.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's probably one of those things, hey, it's Pokemon, it's Japan, and it's one of those things that gets kind of a little even lost in translation here, even though it is a Pokemon-related item.
Right. All right, cool. So, as always, if you guys go check it out, if you guys find more info on it, of course, we always love your input. Let us know in the comments below. But yeah, I'm going to go check this clip out in a second and see if I can post it to my page. Cool. All right, well, thank you for coming back again, even though I totally pretended like you weren't here before.
I'm just not that memorable. It happens all the time on my own podcast.
I'm just kidding. You're never coming back. All right, cool. So we had so much fun. Hope you enjoyed this one. Again, we will have you back soon. I definitely know that. Before we sign off, what is on the agenda for you guys over there?
Oh, well, you know, right now it's a lot of stuff. We're hitting Star Trek Picard with one of our shows, the Union Federation, which covers all things Star Trek and the Orville. Obviously, we got the Oscars coming up, so we're going to be talking about that on our pop culture show, right? Culture Clash. New season of Doctor Who is running. Our guys over in England are handling their Doctor Who podcast, Type 40, covering everything with the current season of Doctor Who, whether you like it or dislike it, because it seems to be a pretty split bag on that. We got some other fun things going on, but, you know, we're over at the Fandom Podcast Network. We're just trying to cover as much across the border from pop culture, from what's going on currently to things from the past, and we just try to have a lot of fun over there.
Sounds like a blast, and you don't invite me? What the hell?
Oh, well, yeah, you know, we put out invitations, but we dropped that blimp invitation at the Super Bowl because you just never know, and so far nobody's shown up. I don't think I put out enough hors d'oeuvres. That's what it is. That's why you haven't come yet, because I don't have enough pizza rolls out.
Like the cocktail weenies, you need all that good stuff. You know, like get the food, damn it, come.
Yeah, exactly. If you can't be fed, Rob is not showing up. Well, we know the answer now.
There you go. All right, guys. So, of course, over on my end, every Monday, we drop down two new episodes. This past Monday, we got two awesome ones. Some weird old school stuff going on there. Once the weather over here heats up, we will definitely get the live events going. Hopefully, we can pop you on one of our screens when we do that. You can kind of be here digitally. And until next time, everybody knows the words. Stay nerdy.